Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
The Bible says this, and I'm going to use this as an introduction if I can for the next few minutes as we speak on communion. But there was a particular passage of Scripture that I never really understood. As a matter of fact, it almost offended me, if I can say it this way, in my person. Because they're very hard words. Sometimes there are very hard words in Scripture that you just can't wrap your head around and understand just exactly what God meant when He said these things. And one of the passages or the hard sayings in Scripture for me comes out of Psalms 116. And verse 15, I didn't give it to the guys back there. If you can find it, that's fine. But if not, I just want to read it. These are thoughts that came to my heart just a day and a half ago. And I wrestled with it that I wouldn't share it with you and just go into the sermon. But I really feel it's pertinent for me to share this. But Psalms 116, 15 says this, certainly in light of everything we're experiencing now. Precious unto the Lord is the death of His faithful servants. I want you to think about that just for a second. Precious. Now, precious, we don't ever use precious unless it's something that really makes you feel good or something that you truly value. Oh, that's a precious gift you've given me. Oh, that's a precious child you have. It's something that's so awesome. And so you save that word and you reserve those words for things that make you feel good and somehow have brought you honor or somehow have brought you some kind of acknowledgement and taking you to a place where you feel really good. And so the Bible says precious, but then you see what it's talking about or referring to, and it says, is the death. Now, when we think of death, it's an oxymoron. How can you say that death is precious? I don't remember having met anyone that said, wow, man, I'm really glad he died. I'm really glad that they're dead. Oh, by the way, the doctor told me I was going to die. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that precious? So it's oxymoron. It challenges itself. And so those were the things that years ago, not anymore, but certainly years ago when I read that, it just galvanized me to that page. And I've always had it in my mind, even before I was in ministry. But I always ask God, what exactly are you talking about? How do I tell anybody that, well, you know, brother and sister, how precious is the fact that your mom has passed? I think somehow they would be offended. We may go like, really? Well, it wasn't your mom, pastor. That's why it's easy for you to say. But then the Lord began to speak to me, and I began to mature in the Lord, which maturity is always important. Can you say amen? Amen. Until I began to look at the vehicle of death and began to understand what it does for God and what it does for us that God finds precious. And it's simple. I'm not going to spend too much time, but just to simply tell you that death becomes precious when you truly understand its purpose. In this world that we live in today, it's customary for everyone to wail, to cry, and to spend days dressed in black. There are people today, after 20, 30 years of having lost a loved one, still wear black, and on a particular day of the anniversary of their passing, they do nothing but mourn. They put on solemn dirge music, and they don't eat particular foods, and they hide away, still in mourning because of the individual, the loved one. And I'm not blaming them. Obviously, it was someone sick. Significant whom they lost. But that also reveals to us that they truly don't understand what has really happened to an individual, especially for us who are believers. And it's until I began to look at this vehicle, I'm going to call it a vehicle of death, and what it does. And basically, I simply want to tell you, and hopefully that'll mature you a little bit, because sooner or later, if we keep on living a few more lives, we'll see lives pass from us, and the time of mourning and how we will perceive that event in our lives will have to do a lot with the joy that will remain deep in us or the sorrow that we will endure for a lifetime. But I find that the Lord finds death precious in His sight because it is a fulfillment of His promises to us. He told us that we were merely pilgrims in this world. Every single one of us in this place is simply passing through, though there are maybe some of us, and in this world, certainly many, who want to make this life eternal. We see it in the fiber of humanity altogether. Everything we do, everything we try to develop, we do it all in the name of preserving life. Amen? Hey, look at how many exercise places that we have, all because you want to maintain good health, all because you want to keep healthy. Why? Because you want to live a little bit longer. Even when it comes to aesthetics, we have all the makeups, we have all the surgeries, we have all this work that we do. Why? Because we want to maintain and embrace youth. Why? Because we want life to remain longer than really it is. And with all of these things, it's easy now to embrace this world as some permanent place. But I want to remind you that we are not called to pitch a tent in this world. We are pilgrims. We are passing through. And I believe that one of the reasons that the Lord can say it's precious to me, because it allows Him to fulfill that promise that He was preparing a place for us, not here, but in glory. And so it's that vehicle He uses to transfer us from this world of chaos and trouble and pain and sickness. Death is more a doorway than an exit. It's a doorway to His great glory that God has allowed and provided for us, that we might be able to escape from the grip of this world. Hard to understand, obviously, I know, because anytime we do go to a funeral or a homegoing celebration such as this, the void and the absence of the individual obviously is going to hurt us. But when we see God's promise fulfilled in an individual, and that's what I see when I think of your mom and your dad, they found the door. God had provided that door. That God that your mother had preached and taught in Sunday school so many years, how many people came to believe in Him? It would be unfair. It would be not right, oh God, not to offer her the door to finally escape from the grip of this world that has always meant to be temporary for us. The second thing I believe this morning is that it becomes precious in the heart of God when we pass away, because, and for us it should be the same, because it's a moment of total reset of thought and mind. We have so many memories in our minds right now. So many thoughts, so many things to remember back in the years. Those of us who are a little older may have more stories to tell. But the young people are developing their stories now in their youth. But our minds are filled, and I guarantee you, just as me, there are many files in your mind that bring nothing but sorrow because of the experiences that you've gone through in this life. We live in a world of heartaches. We live in a world of broken dreams. We live in a world of treason. We live in a world of being pushed out and ostracized. We live in a world of so many things that are negative to our person. And those things develop in us, and they begin to tailor us, and we begin to respond to them accordingly in our walks. That's why so many people sometimes live very bitter lives, because our minds are filled. Now, for those of us who are here and with those that pass, it's completely different, because our minds are still working, and we still remember things that are painful. And so the absence of them leaving, we can understand, because we still remember everything about them and maybe everything they went through. But to be absent in this world and to be present with the Lord, the Bible says that we should not conform ourselves to the ways of this world, but that we should be transformed. Correct? In our minds, be transformed. Don't be attached to the patterns of this world, but be transformed in your mind. When is that going to happen? I've lived close to 67 years of my life, and my mind still works exactly the same way. But when is that total reset going to happen? It's going to happen when we exit this place. May not sound too happy when I say this, and you may not agree with it too much, but you know, with all due respect, I don't know that any one of our loved ones that have gone to be with the Lord remember any one of us. Pastor, yeah, that includes my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother, my friends that have passed on. They don't remember a thing about me. See, the Bible teaches us that at home and in heaven, there is no pain or sorrow. Somebody say amen. You know that enough about heaven, right? Do you think that if they were in heaven and remembered us, they wouldn't cry? You think if I was in heaven right now and I remember my cheekies, my heart wouldn't be broken. I'd be weeping in the presence of the Lord. ¿Qué tienes? So why would he allow me to keep those memories? It's a total reset. As a matter of fact, if we met them again, they probably wouldn't even recognize us because a memory of us is nothing but pain. The world we live in is nothing but pain, and there's none of that in heaven. So the Lord is not going to allow anyone who enters into his court to remember anything of this fallen world that we have lived in. Yes, sadly, even us. Because otherwise, they'd spend 24 hours, one whole day, completely crying just to come back to see their grandchildren, their wife, their husband, their children, their family members. So I do hope, in all respect to my wife and my family, I do hope that when Jesus calls me home, I don't remember any of you. Because if I do, I'll cry every day. So I want to come back home to her. I want to come back and hug my children. I want to come back and preach to you. I want to come back and encourage you. I want to come back and pray for you when you're hurting. So it's only right that God erase all of that and fill my heart with nothing but joy in the presence. I told Brother Limas when I talked to him, I said, Brother, please don't be offended, but I promise you that if you had a chance to talk to her, you said, Mama, please come home. She said, oh, no. No, no, no. I did too many things for you when I was there. I'll tell you what I'll do. I got a better deal. I'll wait for you right here. It's a lot better here than there. Amen? Amen. Amen. I believe that when the Lord just takes us home, we'll never worry about anything that we ever experience. And finally, I'll say this. I believe that one of the greatest things that causes the Lord to say how precious this is because he gets to get his kids home. You remember Jesus sitting at the table with his disciples saying, I have longed to sup with you. I don't like to read that passage because if I really get to do it, I begin to think of how much he loves me, I'll just begin to sob over my Bible. For a Savior who was just getting ready to give his life and to die, to sit there and almost weep and say, you don't know how long I've longed to be with you. The very last things he spoke to us before he parted to be in the presence of the Lord, he said, don't be troubled, don't be hurt. I'm going to go and fix up a place just for you and me so that where I am, you are too. It's always been in the Father's heart to have us with him. So what could be more precious for a father? I want you to think about that for a second. What could be more beautiful for a father to have his children come home? To see him come home. To have him stand at the gate and say, well done, this is my kid. I've been longing and waiting to be with you. Can you imagine the celebration that their parents are celebrating right now? There's a doubleheader. The band is out, the choir is singing, there's great rejoicing, and no one's thinking about you. We are totally left out. But in us knowing that that's happening, we should celebrate as well. Even though that party is not about us, but it's all about them. And therefore, when I look at that passage now, I understand why the Lord would find it so sweet, so precious, how beautiful, how sweet it is. Some translations say, how sweet is the death, how sweet unto the Lord is the death of his saints. Because I believe there's something that will, nothing that will surpass God's desire to one day have us all with him in his presence. So we need to keep searching for Jesus. Amen. Let me read a passage for you this morning. We're going to be taking communion. The question of the hour this morning, as I use that as an introduction, and quite the long one, I understand my time is almost up. But I came to you with a question this morning, and the question is, what keeps you going? What keeps you serving the Lord? We have just seen two mighty soldiers enter into the presence of the Lord just a couple of days ago. And now what remains for us, as we have seen many go before us, what is going to keep us going? The Bible says in Colossians 1 and 10, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance, may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. I read an illustration about a pastor who took this young man camping. It's his son. He had planned this trip to take his son. And as normally plans don't always go the way you planned them. There's always other difficulties. But he did warn him, this journey that you and I are going to take, son, is not going to be a very easy one. It's going to be a trail. It's going to be a difficult trail, but we will make it. And so they start climbing up this particular mountain, because all in search of this beautiful lake that the father, the pastor, had described for him. They made the proper preparations and all they did, all they could to be able to prepare for this. And he did everything he could to coach his son. And all along the way, they saw troubles because of the jagged rocks and the upward slopes and the downward slopes and the drops and the climbs and all these things and the scrapes. A couple of times the little boy fell and on. And the father kept reminding him, say, look, son, it's going to be okay. I told you to expect this. It was going to be a tough journey that you and I were going to take. But this kid continued to stumble repeatedly on the loose rocks as he was walking. And so all of a sudden for him, the joyful walk that was intended to be was no more joyful, but it was quite burdensome. But the father continually reminded him of the lake and how much fun it was going to be when they got there, just to keep him walking. Fun was not the word that was going through the little boy's mind. He had fallen so many times and ripped his knees, his blue jeans were torn up, but to his credit, he kept on walking until finally he fell because of his struggles. And he sat down. He said, I don't know if I can go on. And so the father sat with him. He said, look, let me start again. Don't lose sight of that beautiful lake. We're going fishing. There's a crystal lake just over this hill. We're going to make it. Can you imagine the fish we're going to catch? The fire that we're going to start right on the side. We're going to enjoy our own catch. We're going to laugh and we're going to spend 2 or 3 days out there and have a great time. Son, get up and walk. The father did everything he could to motivate his boy to keep going. He found the way to encourage him that the boy might get up and continue to walk forward. You know, you and I in our walk with the Lord, we can agree, many of us, that the road has not been easy. And sometimes we go through difficult times in our lives that make us stumble, fall, scrape our knees, tear our jeans, and make us have that desire to just sit down and rest, because now joy isn't something that you're feeling. It's trouble and hurt, and it's just not fun anymore. So what is it that keeps you going forward? Why are you here today? We live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, that is very self-gratifying. We live in a world today where everyone looks for their own benefit. But I promise you that when you look for your own satisfaction in your life, many times even those things that you desire personally for yourself aren't enough to keep you going anywhere. We have so many testimonies of people who have given up breathing and living their lives here in spite of all they had accomplished for themselves. But the father spent time encouraging the young child is not something that he had developed for him on his own, but it was something that had already been prepared for them to enjoy. And there's a few things I'd like to encourage you with, and I'll be very brief. I promise you this. As I ask you this morning, what is it that encourages you? And what should it be? May I just ask you to consider the whole idea of you pleasing God. Has that ever been an encouragement to you to keep going forward? The idea that you want to live another day because you want to please God. Why do you want to wake up tomorrow morning? How many of us have ever woken up in the morning and said, you know what? I want to wake up in the morning today because I really want to find something that will bring pleasure to the heart of my Father. I think it'd be fair to say that sometimes we don't even think about those things. We think about the things we want to do to pleasure ourselves. But I promise you that when we decide in our hearts, that enduring race that we walk with the Lord becomes easier, because now you're looking at someone beyond you. As I said, by majority, we live in a very self-indulgent world where everything we desire is for ourselves and something we can personally gain for us. But how about when we think about God? If I can share this, and this is not to sanctify who I am or not, or try to prove that maybe you don't have it, but I've done this, whatever. But I remember when I was going through my situation with my liver transplant. I remember praying in the middle of that ward that I was in at Luke's Hospital. And they had told me that it wasn't looking very good. As a matter of fact, pictures and all these tests that they had taken had proven that whatever they were planning to do may not succeed at all. And I remember praying unto the Lord, and I said, Father, I reminded him of his word, that a dead man cannot praise you. I said, Lord, if you give me life, I will worship you. And I lived to worship you. And that is something in my life since that moment, and way before that, but certainly now more concrete in my life, that every morning I wake up, I thank the Lord for giving me another day, because it gives me the opportunity to make him happy one more day. How about you? The second thing is to leave a good legacy. Every day that you and I live is an opportunity for you and I to leave a good testimony behind. I want you to think about how many of us wake up in the morning and say, Lord, give me another day. I want to keep walking for you, because the more I walk for you, the better I will leave a testimony for those that follow me. Can I say that sometimes we seldom think of anyone around us? Colossians 1:10 says, bearing fruit in every good work. That means living your life where it benefits, leaving your mark in the life of someone. Can I tell you that when I began my walk with the Lord this many years ago, one of the things that I had promised God or asked of God, he said, Lord, as long as I can serve you, that I may leave something that will encourage someone to walk with Christ. And I believe that that's a mentality that every single one of us as believers should have. We should wake up in the morning with a desire to keep moving forward in mind, having the encouragement of others. A father should wake up and keep going serving the Lord because he has his children to influence. A mother should desire to wake up in the morning and keep going serving the Lord because she has her children to influence. A husband should wake up in the morning with his desire to serve the Lord because he has a wife to lead and to influence in the Lord. Every single one of us should wake up in the morning knowing that there are people around us waiting to see us, looking at us, that we could easily be an influence to come to serve Jesus. This passage here that we've just read in Proverbs 13:22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. This verse highlights for many people sometimes that we're speaking finances, or it leaves them good homes or cars. But it's not all about that. This speaks of generational stewardship. Amen. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. It speaks about generational legacy and testimony to others. It speaks about more than just finances and leaving them a good college fund and giving them the property that you so hard worked for, but to give them something that will remain for them all the way to heaven. That should encourage you to keep going towards heaven every day. Again, while it's often interpreted as some financial blessing or something that you should do responsibly when it comes to finances, this passage teaches us to go beyond instant gratification or personal gratification into us building a legacy. I want you to think about your legacy right now for a moment. When you leave this world, and all of us will, what will you leave behind? Right now, our motivation should be, I need another day to make my legacy worthwhile so that my children can truly understand, so that my neighbors can come to believe, so that I can one more day be an example to those that need Jesus. How about one more day to know Him more? How about being motivated to walk with God? Because the more you walk with someone, you get to know them more. I want to know more of God. How about you? Then let that motivate you to keep going in Him on a daily basis. Let that motivate you. Again, the same passage we opened with, Colossians 1:10, it says, growing in the knowledge of God. The more we live, is a great opportunity for us to read His Word, to learn about Him, to know how He is, to know what moves His heart. Some of us have been serving the Lord for so long, and we know so little of Him. It reminds me of the time, and we saw in Scripture, this is not simply a people like us that do that, but you may remember Jesus one time speaking to the disciples, saying, how long must I be with you? But He was basically saying, you know, if you walk with me, you've been with me, you've seen me do miracles, how long do I have to be with you till you really get to know me? And I believe that that's a question that all of us as believers here today, if you've been here for a month or a year or 2 years or some 20 years, ask yourself, how much do you know God? Have you taken advantage of the days He has given you as you walk in your walk with the Lord to really know Him and know what moves His heart? That should be a motivation to us on a daily basis. Lord, give me another day that I might know You more. And finally, I'll close. What should keep you going is what that father encouraged that young boy to always think of. Is that expectant future. He said, son, when we get there, it's going to be totally awesome. Just wait till we get to that lake. All that fun time that we've been talking about, we're going to be able to experience it right there, sitting next to that lake, fishing together and enjoying our company together for as long as we can. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We eagerly await a Savior. You know that that's the blessed hope of the church. If there's something that God would have us to remember always, not as a word of warning, because we normally use the Lord's coming as you better get right because He's coming. And those of you in sin tonight, you just wait like a thief in the night. He's going to surprise you and catch you. And we use that almost as a threat to strong arm somebody to say like, well, I better straighten up. No, no. But the reason the Lord gave us that is to get us excited and keep going. We eagerly await this moment to be with the Lord. In keeping His promise, the Bible says we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth and a new home of righteousness. Hebrews 13 and 14, from here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for a city that is to come, one that is not built by the hands of man, but by the very hands of God. Jesus said this, don't let your heart be troubled. I go, believe in God and believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. He said these things, ladies and gentlemen, to encourage you and I to keep going. Don't ever think about walking away on God. There's too much at stake. Consider the things that encourage you. What keeps you going forward? For me, I have to admit that one of the things that encourages me on a daily basis is to think about that place of absolute perfection, immense glory, eternal joy, to be in heaven. I promise you, we have suffered enough in this world. Amen. How many could use a little rest? How many could use a lot of eternal rest? He promised that to us, if you'll just keep on going. What keeps you on the up and up? We need to think about those things. As we see every day, to our surprise, we see saints going home. And soon, it'll be us. Hallelujah. They kept going, and we should all keep going. Would you stand to your feet with me? We're looking for a place beyond our imagination, beyond explaining. There is no price tag for the place that we are waiting for. And what makes me happy this morning is that it is to the Father's great joy to give it to us. We're going to take communion this morning. It's well time. Ushers, if you would. And as we partake of this bread and this drink, I want us to think, Lord, what is it that keeps me going? Is it the frail, simple thing of this life that I'm always stumbling with? I need real encouragement. And so I believe today that He can give you that encouragement.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.